What I wanted to start out with, as I mentioned to you, was your family background. And initially, I always ask everyone, you tell me when and where you were born.
Okay. I was born in Alberta, Canada. And I was born in 1913. And my father and mother both were American citizens. They never renounced their citizenship in the States. They didn't take out papers, so that made me a citizen by birth to American citizens. My father was a kind of an engineering specialist for a steam company up there. He worked, he was up there about 4 years. In fact, when I was 4 years old, then we came down to the States. Meanwhile, my sister was also born there, and we came to Tacoma, Washington. So it would have been about 1917, and World War II was still going on. Mm-hmm. So 1918, I believe, was the end of World War I.
I wanted to ask you what your parents' full names were.
Oh, my father's name was Harry Morton Winnick, and he came from a very small town in Iowa. My mother's name was Hazel Noreen Olin, and she came from a small farming community in South Dakota.
Did you know anything about your grandparents?
Oh, yes.
Can you tell me a little bit of your family?
Well, my maternal grandmother came from Cork County, Ireland. Her name was Nana Ahern. And sometime later, I had an aunt, it was her oldest daughter, my mother's sister, and her husband, Uncle Tony and Aunt Addie. And they had a wheat farm in eastern Washington, and that's 10 miles south of the Grand Coulee Dam. So the high point of we children's lives was spending the summers with my aunt and uncle on their farm in eastern Washington, called Heartland, Washington, very, very small community. And so I went out there, and at first we children just enjoyed, but later when my aunt developed she had kind of a heart condition. And then I went out when I was in high school. I used to still go out there. And I would help. And occasionally my grandmother and I would have heart-to-heart conversations. Mm-hmm. And at that time my grandmother must have been, I really don't know, maybe in her 50s. I was perhaps 16 or 17. And one day I asked my grandmother about her romance with my grandfather. And surprisingly enough, she told me. She had come from, Cork County, Ireland, and she was not in the potato famine, but she was a result of the potato famine and times with Great Britain when there were wars. But at any rate, in her community, the young men were gone. Either they died in the war or they emigrated. There was such terrible poverty. And she knew that she didn't want to be an old maid. So her father was the mayor of Cork County, a large town there. Mm-hmm. And but his wife felt that my grandmother and her family were what they call shanty Irish, and she felt that she was the lace curtain variety. But at any rate, one day she stopped her uncle on the street and asked him if he would help her to come to America. Before that, her two sisters had come to Boston, and they operated a boarding house. So he helped her, and she came to the States, came to Boston, and she helped her two sisters. And she had she met a young man at the boarding house, and he courted her. And she just didn't know how she felt about him. At any rate, they went to church one day, and on the way back, she preceded him up the stairs to the boarding house, and he called her name Nora in a very peremptory tone, and she didn't like it. And she didn't turn around to even look at him. She just kept going up to the stairs. And about that time, she read an ad in the paper. They wanted school teachers in Deer Lodge, Montana. So at 27 years old, she came out on the train by herself from Boston to Deer Lodge, and she became the school marm. My grandfather, whom she hadn't met yet, and his father operated a sawmill in Deer Lodge, and they met and fell in love, but she was Irish Catholic, and he was definitely a Protestant. Mm-hmm. So based on that, they couldn't get together. Mm-hmm. One night during a violent snowstorm, she lived, the town people provided her with a little cottage on the outskirts of town. And one night it was very late, and there was a snowstorm outside, a blizzard. And she heard somebody pound on the door, and she sat up in fright. And she said, "Who's there?" And he said, "Nana, it's Frank. If you'll marry me, we'll raise our children any way you want us to." So they married, and then they went to South Dakota and homesteaded, and that's where my mother was born.
So your mother was born in South Dakota. Do you know about what year she was born?
Offhand, I really don't. She'd be about 82 years old now. Mm-hmm. So that would...
Somewhere in the 1890s.
Yes. Uh-huh. Yeah. Well, she was married in 1910. Mm-hmm. So at any rate, it was in 1800 and maybe 85, 87, something like that.
Yeah.
And my father was about the same age. Mm-hmm. And he left home when he was about 16. Now, he came, his family, his father and mother were farmers. He had three, he had a brother and a sister. And my father, first of all, he was always a very inventive person. Very, very intelligent, but he didn't want to stay there in that farming community. And before he left, he started, for example, a beehive. Mm-hmm. And then he raised some chickens, but then he finally got out of it. He didn't want to stay in the area at all. So he left. Mm-hmm. And in his wanderings, he came to Spokane, where my mother's family was. In other words, my grandfather and grandmother, they eventually they moved from the farming area in South Dakota, and they came to Spokane and bought a nice house there. Mm-hmm. And the proceeds from the farmers who leased the farm was what they lived on. Mm-hmm. And so it was in Spokane that eventually my mother and my father met, mm-hmm. fell madly in love, and they married. Mm-hmm. And then they went up to Canada, mm-hmm. and we kids were born, my sister and myself. Mm-hmm. And so that's kind of the background.
Mm-hmm. So did you know anything at all about your father's parents?
We didn't know them as well. You know, it's interesting, though, when I stop to think of it. A family member has made a genealogical chart on it. Mm-hmm. But off the top of my head, I really don't know too much about them, except there were members, you know, in the Civil War. And as a matter of fact, one of his ancestors, probably maybe a great-uncle or a great-great-uncle back in the Civil War time, sold arms to both the North and the South, so he was sort of a suspect. But they were God-fearing people. They worked hard. They're very, very nice people. Mm-hmm. You might call them pillars of of their church and so on. And as a matter of fact, I mentioned about the beehive industry that my father started. That started them on their way. Mm-hmm. They raised honey. They prospered with that. That my father had just started with just a couple of hives, mm-hmm. in that area. So I really don't know too much about the historical part of it. Mm-hmm. But at Christmas, I know that we heard from them, and just never saw them.
Yeah.
Now my grandmother and my aunt and uncle on the farm, we used to go there, so we had a very close association. Mm-hmm. So I knew what a grandmother and a grandfather were, and aunts and uncle, and how important they are to kids.
Mm-hmm. So you had a close relationship with them?
Oh, yes. Uh-huh. Yes, the whole family. Mm-hmm. It was a very close relationship. And that's something that my mother nurtured, and to this day, that's the way we all feel, my sister, myself, and a brother who was born in Tacoma after he moved down there. He's 8 years younger than I am.
Mm-hmm. So your parents, do you know roughly about what time your parents were married? Or
1910.
1910?
Mm-hmm.
How old were they, do you know? Or?
My mother was, they were both 21.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Had your mother had any education or worked?
My mother graduated from high school and had, yes, she graduated from high school. My father probably didn't go beyond the, oh, that's hard to say, because he left home so early. Mm-hmm. He might have been in the 10th or 11th grade,
mm-hmm.
but he was certainly, he read mm-hmm. books, and he was interested in scientists. As a matter of fact, later on, when I remember he made a radio, and later on I'm told he made a television.
Mm-hmm.
And he was a very intelligent, very smart man, and I've often thought later that maybe if he hadn't married so young and times were hard to get started then, that he might have really developed into a very, you know, a scientist or something. He mm-hmm. was, everybody recognized that.
Mm-hmm.
But on the other hand, he was alcoholic, which was too bad,
mm-hmm.
because it influenced our lives
mm-hmm.
greatly because of the diminished income, especially during the Depression.
Mm-hmm.
It was pretty horrible.
Mm-hmm.
But he never abused any family members. He just stayed away from home. And, of course, he used up the income that was meant to support the family. He used on his habit.
Mm-hmm.
And this created a lot of pressure on my mother. And she was a very proud person and tried to conceal our distress from her family members. Of course, I think that they knew. But at any rate, she died when she was 46 years old, which was very, very young.
Mm-hmm.
And that had a tremendous impact on, I say, we three kids.
Mm-hmm.
My brother at that time was 14 when she died,
mm-hmm.
and I was about 21. My sister was 19.
Mm-hmm.
And my sister and I, at least I especially, felt a great bitterness towards my father. And my brother stayed with him, but the family, more or less, at that time, we just kind of went all in different directions. We
mm-hmm.
splintered, you might say.
Mm-hmm. Now, you had said that your mother was 21
mm-hmm.
When she was married. Had she, do you know what she'd done since from the time she left high school to the time she got married? Or?
They lived on a farm,
uh-huh.
and so they just helped, I'm sure. No, they were in Spokane.
Mm-hmm.
And no, I'm not sure. In fact, I've never really thought about it.
Mm-hmm.
Women didn't work in those days.
Mm-hmm.
No,
she was with her family?
Oh, yes, in Spokane. They had a very, very nice house in Spokane.
Mm-hmm.
The family stayed together. There was my mother, two, and her two sisters,
mm-hmm.
and a younger brother. And they were all there in the home. My brother, my uncle, Howard, went to Pullman, Washington to school,
mm-hmm.
to college. And her oldest sister, our Aunt Addie, she married a farmer, and they are the ones that went to Heartland, Washington. And then her younger sister, well, she was at home.
Mm-hmm.
For instance, when I was on the farm, worked on the farm, I used to have conversations also with Aunt Addie. And she was a very, very interesting woman. She was very bright. And I remember the whole family was Irish Catholic, except my grandfather.
Mm-hmm.
And so on the farm, this is what my aunt told me. I used to have heart-to-heart with her on the porch, and summer afternoons we'd talk, and I was about 16 or 17, very romantic, and it was about this time that Wallace Simpson and the Prince of Wales, he renounced the throne.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember my aunt used an expression I can't repeat, stating what she thought about the romance. She, But at any rate, I asked Aunt Addie one day, I said, about Uncle Anton, how did they meet? I was an incurable romantic. So at any rate, Aunt Addie had had an unhappy love affair. The man that she was in love with died of tuberculosis. Mm-hmm. So she was at loose ends, and but she and Grandma would go to church faithfully. And in the church, Aunt Addie noticed this very handsome young man in the congregation. So one day after church, she and Grandma were in the local park right in the neighborhood, just strolling along, and they sat down, and she noticed the band that was a member of the congregation that she'd been kind of attracted to. He also was walking, and he sat on the bench right next. So she made a little excuse, and for some reason had to go down the path, but on the way she managed to drop a handkerchief. Mm-hmm. And of course, then Uncle Tony, he of course very gallantly picked it up, and that's how they became acquainted. But the Grandma there, it was perfectly proper. So in time, they were married. Well, now Uncle Tony was an immigrant from Germany, and his father had bought the farm in Hartline, and he and Uncle Tony's mother, it was a very hard life. And his mother, his father was a rather insensitive man. His mother overworked, and anyway, she died a very early death, just from overwork, and conditions were very difficult. Mm-hmm. So at any rate, when Uncle Tony's father died, he had two brothers, and the two of them went their ways. Apparently they came to some agreement about the division of the farm. Mm-hmm. And so Uncle Tony came into Spokane. He decided he didn't want any more of the farm life, so he wanted to lease it and take a job in town, probably. And he had ideas. He liked to be an insurance salesman or something away from the farm. And so he met, but then he realized it just wasn't going to work. He had to go back. So then he met Aunt Addie, and they had a very lovely wedding. So they went on a honeymoon, and they came back to Heartland. She'd never seen the farm. They came in late at night, and a farmer, a friend, had tied a team of horses up where apparently they came in on the train. The horses were waiting in a buggy. It was cold, maybe not snowing, but very, very wintry. And my aunt wasn't used to any particular hardship. She came from the city. So they rode in the buggy, and it was 10 miles from town out to the farm. And there was no light on, nothing. And they came up to this little old farmhouse. And so Uncle Tony apparently opened the door to let her go in, lighted a lamp. He took the horses out to the barn, and she walked into the kitchen. And it was cold. Anyway, she looked under, next to kind of a cabinet or a wall, and there a pig had been slaughtered. And it was, of course, been all tidied up and everything, but her thought was, well, at least we'll eat. So she worked very, very, very hard. Now, the first year that she was there, in those days, it would be normal for the ladies in the community to come and call. So for quite a few Sundays, she would dress and sit on the porch and wait for company, and nobody ever came. Mm. And she finally realized that the resentment was extreme against a city girl coming out to the community. Mm-hmm. And so her attitude was shaped then, and she never did accept them. Now, I don't mean she never talked to anybody, but she felt that she had their number, so she never felt really one of them. Mm. She was a more or less kind of an outsider. Mm-hmm. And as time went on, she also overworked. Of course, Uncle put in a lot of improvements. And that's when I came on the scene. I used to go out there and help in the summers.
In the summertime.
Yeah, and finally she developed a heart condition. And she would work so hard in the summers, then in the winter she'd go into the hospital in Spokane and kind of, maybe not the hospital, but kind of a convalescent home. So that's when my grandmother and I would go out to the farm, and then we would help out with the hired hands. And of course, it was fun. I just loved every minute of it. It was fun. But I used to raise chickens and eggs, and I learned to milk a cow and ride horseback and can and return butter and made bread. Mm-hmm. And of course, there were lots of attractive young farm boys in the area who were. So I just had absolutely a ball. As a matter of fact, I finished high school out there. Mm-hmm. And I used to ride a bus in the snow. And in my graduation class at Heartline, there were 12 of us, 8 boys and 4 girls. And the 8 boys were the champion basketball team in the eastern part of Washington at that time.
Mm-hmm. So, going back to your parents, mm-hmm. they met in Spokane?
No, they met in South Dakota.
In South Dakota?
Yes, where my mother was living, and my father was coming through mm-hmm. on his adventures, whatever. Let me see. Yes, that's true. That's where they met. Then the family moved to Spokane. Mm-hmm. And then at a later date, my father came out.
So your father had known your mother's family when they lived in South Dakota?
In South Dakota.
In that same community?
Yes.
And then they moved to Spokane, and he then came?
Yes.
Then you said that he had a job as an engineer, was it?
Yes, up in Gleason, Alberta.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Had he, you don't know what training or anything?
No,
he had for that?
No.
And then, so your mother, did they have any children at that time, or when they moved?
No. There was a boy that died, and then 18 months later, I was born. Mm-hmm. And 18 months later, my sister was born. Mm-hmm. And then my brother, my surviving brother, was born in the States, mm-hmm. after they moved back to the States.
You've told me the year of your birth. I was wondering what the date was?
November the 25th.
November the 25th. Mm-hmm. Did your mother ever told you anything, or did she ever tell you anything about the day you were born?
No, but she told me something else. They lived on the outskirts of they lived in town, or on the outskirts of Gleason. And a little further off, there was an Indian reservation, but they had teepees, and they had... The men wore buckskins and very much followed the tribal customs and so on. And so my mother hadn't been there very long, and so apparently my father left an order for groceries in town. Mm-hmm. And so one day at the back door, somebody knocked, and she opened the door a crack, and here stood this great big Indian, and she tried to slam the door. It just scared her to death, but he put his foot in the door, and he made all kinds of gestures that she looked behind him, and he was pulling a little red wagon with her groceries on it. And then they used to have some of their tribal dances, and they could hear chanting and singing. Mm-hmm. So it was apparent. It was a, and then also on the cold, oh, it was, they had the aurora borealis, the northern lights, very plainly there in outside of Gleason. But at any rate, she would put me out on the porch sometimes when she was cleaning house. She'd open the doors to air them. I'd be out on the porch, and it was about, well, it was under 10 degrees above zero, and I'd be out there sleeping as soundly as I could. But I don't remember anything about it at all.
Were you born at home?
I know that I had a nurse. Mm-hmm. And she probably was a visiting nurse. And this was in Canada, so it would be under the auspices of the Canadian government. And her name was Evelyn. Mm-hmm. And I was christened Winifred Joy, but my mother liked the name of the nurse, Evelyn, mm-hmm. so much that they started me calling me Evelyn. Mm-hmm. And this led to terrible repercussions later on when I needed my birth certificate. Mm-hmm. Because when I started to work for my first company, I had to have my birth certificate, mm-hmm. and to show I was a citizen. And here it came back as Winifred Joy, and even the year was wrong. So it was terribly complicated. And then my sister's name is Winifred Joy, mm-hmm. and they called her Irene Claire, and it was also a different year. So if my father hadn't, he signed an affidavit, and then finally his, in his memory, he remembered back, because my mother was gone by that time. But it was just awful.
So you had a younger sister, and her name was?
Her name is Winifred Joy. Winifred. We call her Winnie.
Okay.
She lives just 5 doors down the street.
And a brother?
And a brother, Howard.
And he was how much younger than you?
8 years.
So, can you tell me, okay, you lived in Alberta only until you were about 4
years old.
And then you moved to where?
Tacoma, Washington.
And did your father have a change of job then?
I really don't know why they came down. I don't know if at that time he had drinking habits that might have eased him out of his job. It's hard. I really don't know. But I know he started to work for, as a mechanic, repairing cars in Tacoma. And he worked there for years and years and years. Excellent mechanic. And of course, I'm a child of the Depression, you might say. So his job did, but of course, he probably would have done so much better had it not been for the drinking problem.
Did he have a lot of trouble working because of that?
I don't know. Yeah. He stayed in the same place. He never changed jobs. He was such a good mechanic, they held on to him. But how much work he missed, I really don't know. But I know that it was very hard on my mother. My mother was a very proud woman. And I'd say my father was a nice person. He was a clean, good habits as far as, around the kids. He was very, but of course we didn't see him very often. And so I won't say we were alienated, but I never felt that I really knew him the way that I would have with a father that comes home regular hours and spends evenings with the family and so on.
Did in terms of your closeness with him, do you think that he was not around much then after his work hours because of that?
He also, maybe he worked. I really didn't understand it because it wasn't until later. That my mother told me that he was alcoholic. I always thought this was normal. I never dreamed that other fathers might be different in terms of the time spent with the family. I always accepted the fact that he was working late or something like that. And so when she told me, I probably was about 16 years old. I was sure dumb. But I never tumbled because she protected him so much, you see. So it just, I didn't realize until later, in fact, till she died, just how bad it was. That the pressure on her pride, and so on. And then protecting him from her family members. Of course, they really knew, but...